Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host, Chris Allen. How y'all doing? What's going on, people? I'm back. Yes, I got to make this quick. I literally have to catch a flight to Huntsville, Alabama here in a couple hours. And that's true. Going to Huntsville, Alabama. I'm pretty sure this is Northern Alabama, so I'm pretty sure it's very progressive. So I like to blend in where I go. So I went ahead and I got my Klan uniform out the closet, took it to the cleaners. So I should fit right in there in Huntsville. So yeah, I'm actually catching a flight at like 11 o'clock. So yeah, I'll be down there for a couple of days. That'll be fun. I'm gonna do a mic down there on tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, at this place called the fucking Copper Top. So, if you happen to be in Huntsville, Alabama, and you listen to my podcast, if you're one of the 9 people that listens to my podcast, please come out to Copper Top tomorrow night at 9 p.m. to see me do some jokes. All right, I don't have any milestone this weekend other than the fact that this weekend when I get back, my wife and I are driving back to Rochester to pick him up. And he's coming home, and Monday, his black ass will be in daycare. That's right. Daycare for Miles. Hope he likes it. It's a really cool little school. So I'm looking forward to him getting in there and meeting some new friends and having a good time. Because he's having a lot of fun in Rochester, and I hate when he comes back here and just sits at the house with us in this big old house with no brother and sister. There's not a lot of kids on our street. I feel awful for him. But, all right, let me move on. As I said earlier this week, I was going to do my podcast on this docuseries, Last Chance U. But before I get into that, as you all know, the Olympics has started, and it's been fantastic. It's been a lot of fun watching these different sports. I saw some gymnast break his leg. Oh, God, that was awful. Disgusting. And, like, I watched some of the women's gymnastics, like, later on that day, and the entire time in the back of my mind, I'm like, please don't break a leg. Please don't break a leg. It's just seeing that one time, and now I'm terrified to even watch gymnastics, even though I know that's a freak accident, and that happening twice, that's not gonna happen twice, you know. So I don't want to jinx anybody by even just that's not gonna happen. And then, have you guys seen the video of this Filipino dive team? That shit can't be real, man. How do they even feel that team? Those guys are basically going out there, flipping into the water, and just belly flopping. God damn it. Hilarious. So shout out to the Filipinos. You make a hell of a chicken adobo, but damn it, y'all motherfuckers can't dive to save your life. I guess, you know what they need to do for the Filipino team? If you put a goddamn karaoke machine under the water, they will get down there very quickly. And for those who don't know, they love karaoke. Maybe that's that Asian half of them. Asian people love karaoke, especially the old Japanese folks. But all right. Let me give a quick shout out. I know they listen. Shout out to, I saw the Williams sisters. They lost in the first round to a couple of Czech Republic girls. They had a hell of a run. I think that was 14 games they hadn't lost, matches they hadn't lost, or 15 matches they hadn't lost throughout their entire Olympic careers. Well, shout out to them. Every great run comes to an end. So, and it was kind of sad that might be there, even though I didn't watch many in the past. But just knowing that that's probably their last is definitely the end of an era. And my wife and I, we sat and watched gymnastics, and it's just so cool to see how our gymnastics team has changed over the years. Because I remember as a kid, you know, it was mainly these, you know, middle of America white chicks, you know, just what you would expect. And then I want to say, was it 1992? Dominique Dawes. I think that was like the first black chick I ever saw on the Olympic team. And I mean, you talk about a crush. I was in love with Dominique Dawes when I was like 12. I was obsessed with her. I used to just sit there and watch it and just write her name over and over again. Yeah, this is getting creepy, folks. So Dominique, Simone, and Gabby. I didn't have a crush on those two. Those girls are like 14 now. I mean, how old is Gabby Douglas? Like 19 or 20? Yeah, no crushes on those two. Dominique Dawes when I was 12, 1992. I had a crush on her. But Gabby and Simone Biles, it's just cool to see how diverse our team is now. You know, you got basically the two best athletes on that team are two black chicks. You got the I believe she's Puerto Rican, Rodriguez, and a couple of the white chicks. So it's just cool to see over the years how it gets more diverse and we continue to get better. So that just shows you that we all can bring something to the table. Not that those American teams that were all white weren't good, but it's good to see young black women doing something positive. And if you have a problem with that, fuck you. Okay? I'm proud of those young ladies. We get trashed as a people. You say all black women do is make babies and argue and shit. Well, look at these two women, and they're positive role models for these young sisters out here, okay? So don't hate. I hate that shit. I hate those bigots that always talk about how black people, we're our own worst enemy. Stop blaming the white man, and I get it. You said we hold each other down. But the minute we support each other, you go, oh, you just support them because they're black. Why couldn't you just support them because, you know, because blah, 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 blah. You blame black men for all these issues around the country, the violence, the drugs, all this type of shit. And then we create these programs to try to help these brothers. And then you go, well, that's racist. How come we can't have a program that helps young white men? Either you want us to fix it or you don't, people. So, yes. I support black people doing positive things, okay? Enough of that. Moving on to what I wanted to talk about. And I pulled my hamstring pretty bad last Friday trying to catch the frisbee. I'm getting old. I got to stop this. So I was laid up all week, and I didn't do any goddamn thing. I couldn't. But my wife has been taking care of me, icing it, heat, massage ball. It's been great. But, all right. So I forgot how I actually stumbled across this docuseries. I think I saw somebody on Twitter say that it was really good. That These Boys Go Hard on Last Chance University. And I was like, let me check that out. So I pull it up on Netflix. And to give you a little bit of background, basically Last Chance U is a docuseries about a small community college in East Mississippi, and it is actually called Eastern Mississippi Community College. And basically what this coach, Buddy Stevens, has done over the past, I would say maybe 10 or so years, he's created an elite junior college program where basically they take in athletes who couldn't hack it academically coming out of high schools, and they were like pretty big recruits. Supposed to go to D1 schools, but again, didn't have the grades. So they would go to this JUCO to get their grades to be able to accept those scholarships to those big schools, mainly SEC schools. And for those who don't know, the SEC is basically the NFL league of college football. So he takes in those guys, and he also takes in people who've played D1, but ended up in trouble, whether it was like something they did, they didn't do academically, or they got in trouble. Or they get to their D1 school and they figure out, you know what, I'm a small fish in a big pond now, and I'm used to playing every snap. Now I'm like the 15th string quarterback, and they're not happy. And what they want to do is kind of put themselves back out there to earn a scholarship to another college. All this stuff is great, you know. Well, I understand people make mistakes. You get in trouble. Sometimes your emotions get the best of you. You're a little immature. You might not be used to the freedom, and you do something stupid and you lose a scholarship. And it is sad to see people make one mistake and then like their whole future is shot. It sucks. All right. But most of it is, it has to do with academic eligibility. And a lot of these guys, especially the guys in this documentary, it kind of focuses around three people. This guy, his name is DJ Law. He's a running back. There's another guy, John Franklin III. He's a quarterback. He went to FSU, and he decided he wanted to transfer to EMCC to earn another scholarship. And then Ronald Ollie. And they're pretty much all Southern guys. And so they're all to school. They all have taken different paths to get there. And when I first start watching the documentary, I look at the kid, Ronald Ollie, and I'm like, you know, he's a defensive lineman, big guy, always, he's funny, he's goofy, he's silly, and always laughing. And I'm like, this guy doesn't take anything seriously at all. You know, he doesn't want to go to class. Everything seems like a big joke to him. And it really kind of pissed me off at first. I'm like, why can't these brothers just take shit seriously? Like, this is called Last Chance University. You know? I'm like, this is it, man. This is not a fucking game. It's like, what do you think you're going to do if you don't make it? Let's be honest. Most of those brothers on that team, they come from horrible school systems. Especially in Mississippi. Not the best public schools. They get pushed through because they play football well. You know, people like them. But they're not really being set up for success later on in life. Then as the documentary moves on, you learn that this kid's parents were murdered. His mom was killed by his dad. And then everything started to make sense. I was like, man, I was kind of hard on this kid. He thinks everything is a joke. You know, he had a situation where he got a concussion in practice and he didn't want to stick around anymore. He wanted to go back home and hang out with his friends. He goes to his whole high school, his old high school. Everybody's slapping him up. You know, he's walking around like a big shot. And I was like, man, this dude, he's trying to act like he the shit, but he's in school, not going to class, laughing, thinking everything is a joke, kind of disrespecting the coach. You know, the academic I don't want to call her a tutor, but she's kind of like the woman who kind of watches over their classes and stuff. She's trying to talk to him. He won't take his headphones off. He thinks it's a big joke. And after hearing that story, I understand, you know, that brother, he lost his parents at a young age, taken in by family, but still, the fact that you know you're doing good things in your life and you don't have your parents around to tell you that they love you, to encourage you, to tell you that you're doing a good job. It's like, yeah, he's getting it from other people. But I think people, we still need to hear that from the people who've made us, you know, from our parents. We have to hear that. And I actually have a friend in my life that was like that. They were always seeking approval. And they lost both of his parents to drug use. And he was kind of the same way, just always laughing, always joking. And when he was low, he was really low, always seeking approval, always. And it makes sense. I have a friend just like that, just like that. So I felt bad judging him so harshly at the beginning of the documentary. After I learned that, his whole personality made sense to me. And I noticed that's kind of the running theme with, I would say, 98% of the guys in this documentary. It's just a lack of love and confidence in themselves. DJ Law, running back, very talented dude, afraid to try in class. You can tell these guys, they only feel like they're worth something on that football field. You know, you've always heard it. You heard it your entire life. Athletes are dumb. Again, he's from Haines City, Florida. Not the best schools. His father wasn't around. His father was in prison. They don't have the right support system to tell them that they can do the work. They know that it's so funny to see how confident these young men are on the football field at practice. You know? How they can grab, because I've never played football. I have friends that have played. I've watched a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. I've seen them watch game film. I've seen them run plays. I've seen playbooks. That shit is pretty complicated. Yeah, you don't have to be a rocket science to play, but you really, honestly, you can't be that dumb to play football. It takes a level of intelligence. It might not be book smart. You know, you might not be, you might not understand finite math or orbital mechanics, but it takes a level of intelligence to play the game. You know what I mean? Yeah. People see it's just running and smashing and hitting, but you have to have a level of intelligence to play damn near any sport. You have to think. So if you can go out there and you can memorize a playbook, remember all these plays, where you need to be, how to read a defense. I mean, you can do the schoolwork, but most of these guys, they don't have that foundation. They don't have it. It's so sad. It happens all over the country. These guys have these physical gifts. I believe most of them have the mental capacity to pass the classes, but no one truly cares. And it's sad to see that these guys go to this school and they have to be, because no one ever tried to really discipline them at all throughout their high school career, because they're helping them win games and state championships. And, you know, coaches are getting paid off of this stuff. They're going to camps and people are making money off of them. They don't really care about these dudes' education. They tell them how great they are in football. They're going to make it to the league. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. You're going to make this money. But no one really cares about setting those guys a solid foundation in education. Because all they talked about the entire time was, I got to make it to the league. I got to make it to the league. It's like, you got to go to class. But no one had ever sat down with them and told them how serious it was early on. Because now it's almost a joke, and they're afraid to try. Just like that dude, DJ Law. There's a scene in there where he wrote a short essay, and the academic monitor woman was like, this is really good. And the way he smiled, I mean, this is pretty much a grown man, you know, that's been through a lot. He's a hardened dude. But the way he smiled was like a kid on Christmas when someone told him that he was smart and he can do it. And this is one of the best essays that she saw. He was so happy. He was like a kid. Someone told him he did a great job and it wasn't on the football field. Those dudes need so much love. It's crazy, man. That's all. Those dudes, they just fucking need hugs. They needed hugs as children. They needed to be told they were worth something more than a football, than just being a football player, man. It's crazy. And it did bother me that they had to be coddled and, like, literally dragged to class. This woman is checking up on them to make sure they're in there. They got to check their attendance every day. It's like, if you're not doing that at a small community college in Mississippi, which, let's be honest, is probably a glorified middle school in Mississippi. Sorry, I'm shitting on Mississippi, but let's be honest here. If you can't hack it there, and they're trying to pass you, they're trying to work with you. Now, just imagine when you get a scholarship and you end up at Auburn or FSU or Mississippi State. You got dudes there that can run a 4.240. They know the playbook, and they're getting A's. If you can't hack it there, there's no way they're going to make it in those big schools. It was just a very interesting documentary. I've never played football, but it was just very interesting to see how it all worked, to see all these different guys' background, and just kind of see that through line of all these young guys are hurting, basically. They're all hurting. They're so frustrated. And it bothered me in the beginning of the documentary. I'm like, why does it always have to be it seemed like it's white people that care about other black people? You know, that I have to be honest. That bothered me. I'm like, why can't we take care of each other? I know it shouldn't matter, but we have to do better at taking care of each other. Even in my comedy career, man, I got so many of my white friends that helped me out. I have had more of my white friends help me out than my black friends in my comedy career. Why is that? Is it a numbers thing? And I'm not trying to say none of my black friends have ever helped me. I'm not saying that at all. Because I have Vince, Booyah, Nate Washington, a bunch of people have helped me. Is it because my white friends are in better positions? I don't know. But we have to do better at helping each other. You know, and not helping each other because you think they're going to make it and you're going to get something in the end. It's just something you should want to see. It was a very, very moving documentary. And when it was all said and done, the main characters, one ended up going back to a big D1 school. John like Henderson or Dickerson. I don't know, I'm fucking this up. The one quarterback kid, the kid that went to FSU, he ended up getting another scholarship to Auburn, which is great. The kid Ali, he ended up going to Nichols State. And another guy, DJ Law, was going to go to the UAB, you know, pending his he graduates that next season. It's just when you're ever in a position to help brothers like this out, man, just tell them to take their education seriously. You know, that's what it's all rooted in. That you can't do anything without that. Even if you don't even plan to do anything else in your life, at least take advantage of that free education. I mean, because none of that pro sports shit is guaranteed, man. It's just you get in there, you twist your knee, and you're finished. And you have to fall back on something else. But this has already gone long. I got to get out of here soon. So there's a show. That's a show. Peace out.